from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Baseball. Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host, alongside our own David Haw.
We've got a lot of baseball conversation to cover.
Great being with you, talking baseball.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce asked the first hard question.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Oh, yes, he's our guy. And Bruce Levine joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Bruce, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, guys. I guess Mully and you too, David, are in different – you're in the Score uniform, so therefore you are eligible to be the next managers of the Chicago White Sox.
Boy, I tell you what.
Do we want that job?
Well, I'd love to talk about it.
It's a great question.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I don't understand. Well, hopefully we'll get some clarity. We're going to talk to him in a little bit. I don't think I understand exactly why the parameters were laid out the way they were. Is that about eliminating candidates, in your opinion, Bruce? Or is that about sort of steering people toward other names than the ones that are out there?
I think it's a combination of the both. I don't think they want to hear the white noise any longer about Ozzie Guillen or about A.J. Pierzynski or about anybody sitting at home figuring out who a former White Sox person that had connections there was, and he had a good connection with the fan base before they go out and do this search. I think that's part of it. More importantly, to the way that he's done this job, I would say that this is consistent with Chris Getz going outside of the organization to bring in his top people working with him in the front office. So that was that's been the first time in decades that the White Sox have gone outside of the organization to bring in not only a manager, but bringing in people that were not known in the organization other than Chris having connections over his years as a farm director, knowing who the best, youngest, and brightest were out there. And I think that's the direction he's going now with his next manager and his coaching staff. Even the way it's assembled right now with Grady Sizemore temporarily there, and then Sisson and Butera and Gellinger coming in. Gellinger's not a young guy, but he has a tremendous reputation in the White Sox organization for the last 37 years. So younger, brighter, a new vibe on the South Side. That's what Getz is going for, and For the first time in decades, it's being allowed.
Based on that criteria, how thorough will the process be, and who is on the short list if you were putting together a short list?
Well, Schumacher, you know, the Miami manager is probably going to be number one guy to be speculated. Great reputation, had a kind of a linear thing going until this year when their pitching staff was decimated. They lost four starting pitchers there, and they became one of the worst teams in baseball. But manager of the year in the National League last year, connection with Tony La Russa. I know people aren't going to want to hear that, who are afraid of old school type guys, a very good baseball guy out there. So you're going to hear him. And then you're going to hear names speculated that you haven't heard before. Guys from other organizations, the connections with Arizona, the connections with Boston, connections all over baseball. I think it's going to be a refreshing thing. At the same time, you know, White Sox fans and certainly Chicago media, do not trust anything that's going on there right now. And until you can put together a winning team and more players that are major league caliber, they're not going to earn that trust.
How bad is this going to get, Bruce? I mean, I don't mean this year. I mean this organization. You know, Pedro will go down as the worst manager in Sox history with a .319 winning percentage. I don't know how much better he could have done given the group he had. But, you know, they went from a team that was a .500 team to a team that lost 100 games to a team that now is going to lose, I don't know, 125. How bad will it get? I mean, if you're still going to trade the starting pitcher and the center fielder, what do you got?
It's going to get worse record-wise or the same. You know, maybe you're going to lose somewhere between 100 and 110 games again next year, most likely, because you're still trying to find the people that you want there. You're not spending money. I asked Getz yesterday on the conference call when would be the time to start plugging in free agents. He said, soon, but not next year. Okay, so it won't be next season that you're going to see this. You're going to see more young players come in, try to establish themselves. Hopefully the guys like Montgomery from the minor league system, who's still has a way to go, comes out of spring training, establishes himself as a shortstop, a third baseman. They make more astute trades by trading their top pitcher over the winter. Crochet brings back people. Maybe Robert likely brings back people. The key for both of those guys right now, stay healthy the rest of the year, be that guy that can bring back two or three top prospects from other organizations. So it's going to take a while. It's still going to be painful. But, you know, this is Chris Getz's first manager, and you will see the stamp that he wants to put on it. And I'm anxious to hear him talk to you guys at 7:30.
So I understand why, as you referred to it, the white noise that would be created with A.J. Pierzynski and Ozzie Guillen as being candidates. I get that. You might want to stay away from that, the kind of distraction, Bruce. But other managers out of uniform right now, former managers, guys like David Ross, Terry Francona, Joe Girardi, why would they be so quick to eliminate those men as candidates if indeed they would bring experience, they would bring some gravitas, and they would help restore credibility?
I think they need a young guy that has a vision of what the organization can be along with them. Okay, and those guys are great baseball people, but their vision is not losing 100 games a year or 190 games over the next 2 years as a part of this growing process. So it has to be a guy that has the view of the organization. Those guys, you know, they would listen to the job. Some of them might want to take it, but you don't want somebody to come in there and be upset about the fact that it's going to take another couple of years to be a viable team. Look, I told you guys in April, and I'm definitely not a I told you so guy, but I told you in April it was going to be a 110 loss team. I was wrong, okay? I was wrong. It's going to be worse than that. But you could see just organizationally that they were not prepared for the injuries and the fact that, you know, it was scheduled to be a 90 to 100 game loss team and be able to trade more people off, and it didn't work out. So from that perspective, every fan has a right to be disappointed and upset. But, you know, pay attention to who's running this team right now, and the young people and young experienced baseball people in the organization. It's just going to take a couple of years, and it's going to be painful next year as well.
Grady Sizemore takes over. Okay. Does that mean a managerial bump? Do you anticipate the White Sox winning a game against the Cubs in the next two?
Well, you know, anything can happen. You know, I mean, I don't expect the White Sox to win a lot of games just because they got rid of Pedro Grifol. I know a lot of people felt he was a problem and that's they weren't finishing off games. But with all due respect to the players on the team, you know, they traded away their bullpen. They traded away their starting pitchers other than Crochet. Why would anybody expect them to win? These are not players that are set up collectively to win a lot of games. So, you know, if they win another 10 games the rest of the year, that would probably be what I would assume. But the establishing, you know, a younger, more dynamic look toward the future with Sizemore. I do not understand the Sizemore move, and maybe, you know, Chris at 7:30 will clarify Sizemore. He's a great communicator, and he's connected well with the players there. So I think, you know, writing it out is a good thing with the organization ideas in mind as far as how players should be handled. But honestly, I don't understand why they said Sizemore wouldn't be a part of the equation, you know, if he has a good year, has a good couple months here, because players pay attention to it just like media and fans do. And if they see that Sizemore is not going to be part of the equation in the future, how much of his message are they really going to pay attention to?
It comes across as an unusual experiment, Bruce, because he doesn't have any experience. He's barely been in the front office, let alone in the dugout. He does have a good career as an ex-player, but also Charlie Montoyo was there with 4 years managing experience. There's been a suggestion on this station that Charlie Montoyo wanted to get an increase in pay to become the interim manager, and if that wasn't the case, he'd rather move on. Is that accurate in your mind?
I also heard he wanted a six-week vacation to start it. No, I'm kidding, but you know, obviously, I don't know about that. You know, again, whether he wanted that or not, it's a good idea to start fresh with the people. Look, I am sure Sisson, Butera, Gershel will still be a part of this organization. Gallinger certainly will be, and Sizemore will be most likely as well going forward. So you have people there that you're projecting to be a part of your staff moving forward or your organization moving forward. Montoya and Rodriguez and Tozar were not going to be that.
Gershel interests me because he was the AAA manager for a couple of years and he's been working in the system for 8 years. Presumably, he knows the younger players. We saw a thing yesterday. Apparently, Oscar Colas was pulled out of a game last night. Does that mean he's on the way? And was his relationship with Pedro Grifol one of the reasons that he didn't get any kind of run?
He just wasn't very good. I mean, he hasn't been good for a long time.
But is he coming back now if they pull him
out? I imagine. I mean, yeah. You know, again, you know, why not? Why not start promoting? So, again, you know, when Chris comes on in 15 minutes, he's going to probably talk about, hey, we're going to start moving some people up. We want them handled a particular way. Certainly, you know, Gershel makes a lot of sense because he was at AAA and had these guys. You might as well get Colas a total look here for the next 6 weeks or 7 weeks and decide one way or the other whether he's a washout or somebody that can develop. So far, you know, he hasn't looked good in the field no consistent hitting. This is an experienced guy from Cuba and Japan, and he hasn't looked that way with the Chicago White Sox. So, again, player development is number one here. Winning games, obviously, you'd like to, but it's certainly going to be secondary still the rest of this way. You're not going to feel good about winning 15 games the rest of the year or, you know, 40% of your games. It's not going to change the dynamic of what 2024 has been or will be looked at for the White Sox, but it can be a beginning for Chris Getz to put his stamp on it with a manager and a coaching staff that he feels is who are the right people for this organization moving forward.
Tonight, the Crosstown Series resumes on the South Side. Cubs, White Sox pregame coverage right here on The Score, 6:35. Pat Hughes, Ron Coomer on the call. First pitch, 7:10 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. Bruce, will Garrett Crochet be making his last start of the season tonight?
He could. Any of these could be. You know, again, their plan was, you know, not based on anyone else's plan ever. Nobody can even think of anybody who came off of 25 innings the year before, Tommy John the year before that, and looked as dominant and as unbeatable as Crochet has so many times this year. With a good team behind him, you know, you'd be talking about him just the way that Skeens is being talked about with Pittsburgh, you know, just unbelievable Cy Young Award candidate. You know, somebody that people will be talking about for years, hopefully. But handling him the rest of the way, you know, I think he's gonna have to be a part of the equation to help them figure it out. And, you know, again, tonight, you know, expect 4 innings and 70 pitches, 65, 70 pitches. How much longer will they do that? Again, when we talk to Crochet after the game, it's going to be also – What is your theory about what's right for you? Do you want to be shut down the rest of the year to be more viable moving forward in 2025? So we'll get all that in tomorrow morning on our show. David, you and I will talk. I know Mully will be up first thing listening to us.
Always. Do you have any great guests? Is Pedro coming in?
We are. Well, he was asked, and he told me that he's considering it. So we'll see. We'll see about that. Matt Shaw, the top young infielder in the Cub organization, will be joining David and myself. We have some feelers out. Maybe we'll get Grady Sizemore on because
you booked Matt Shaw, Bruce. That is great, Matt Shaw. That is tremendous. He hit home. He got
He's
promoted
in AAA
this week.
Now, yeah.
AAA, a week at Iowa. Realistically, let's switch to the Cubs for a moment.
Yeah.
Is he a guy that you think will get a look at the major league level before the end of the year? And how do you feel about
it? Does it depend on how they do?
Yes.
I mean, they got Bruce, they supposedly have the easiest record in the National League remaining.
Yep.
Easiest schedule remaining. Does that mean that you're not in a hurry to bring up the Matt Shaws of the world? Or do you have to do it anyway, depending on how things are going?
Well, I think, you know, it's his first his first few games at AAA. So let's see how he does there to adjusting to that pitching from AA. And then also who is healthy, who is not with the Chicago Cubs when you move into September and the AAA season is over. You know, we remember back to 2019 when Javi Baez got hurt late in the season and a kid came up that was sitting at home in his parents' house that had just finished his first professional season in the minor leagues. And his name was Nico Horner. And he was fabulous, if you remember, in the end of 2019, a disappointing year. But he went in and played great shortstop, and his ascension began there. So you never say never when it comes to these young guys. We'll see how it works out. But the Cubs are certainly hoping the guys that are with him right now continue to move them over 500 for the first time in months, and you can really talk about them being viable moving toward September and being in a pennant race to be a playoff team.
Bruce, off the wall question. To your knowledge, and I know you know a lot of things pertaining to the Cubs, did they ever discuss with Dansby Swanson the possibility of him going to Paris to watch his wife in the gold medal game?
Is that a serious question?
Yes. Because I think that it's a big deal for Mallory Swanson and the women's soccer team. They're going to win gold tomorrow.
It's kind of like Leo DeRocher going to overnight camp when he was with the 69 Cubs, and he just walked away from the team for a few days when they needed him during that season. I don't see how you do that, because it would be a cute idea and a nice idea for the family, but you set a precedent that you don't want to have around on a major league team, you know, from here on out. It's great, but why would it be for him going to the future?
Well, they're off Sunday.
They're off Sunday.
You know, they're playing the Sox. Yeah. Who knows if they need them?
And I only ask you serious questions.
Don't they have a plane?
Yeah, right.
Can't the guy just shoot over, watch a football match, and come home? I mean, some.
And then he goes 0-14, and people say the jet lag and moving away from the team was the reason.
No, people but he got
say
his golden moment.
He's just having a bad year.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You know, anything is acceptable these days in sports. So you don't want to limit his chance to go see his wife play there. I think it's fantastic. She's a great player. Arguably. Who's the best athlete in that house? He always says it's
her. Yeah.
Okay.
No, she's a great player. I mean, she really is.
She's a star.
And she's coming back from this knee injury, and she's like as good as she was before.
She's a bigger
right
star in her sport than her husband is in his.
Yeah, because she's one of the three best players on that team. No question. You're right.
Well, he's really coming on. You know, it's been nice to watch him over the last couple weeks just be a baseball player, not worry about the power that hasn't been there, accepting, you know, what it is, and helping the team get back to credibility, which they hope to continue against the White Sox this weekend.
Great stuff, Bruce.
Thanks, Bruce.
Take care, guys.
We'll be listening. Thank you, buddy. That's Bruce Levine. David, you know him well.
I can't wait till tomorrow now. Matt Shaw, maybe Grady Sizemore, inside the clubhouse, 9 to 11.
When does he tell you when you're getting guys?
Usually by now we know.
I know you do all the research, so you don't have to go dig into anything, but it's still important.
Bruce and I are in constant communication throughout the week about guests and topics and things like that, and he typically books the guests by Friday afternoon.
Excellent. All right, we're going to talk to the White Sox general manager. We'll hear from Chris Getz. We'll get a chance to talk to him about everything going on with the White Sox. Obviously, the manager was fired. They made a decision. When did they make the decision, do you think? They fired him yesterday. I'm not sure when the decision was made. And is there going to be a managerial bump? Is there going to be a bump because Grady Sizemore is taking over? And why Grady Sizemore? And it'll be fun. We'll get a chance to kind of have a chat with Chris Getz, talk some baseball.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about
this? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
With the general manager of the White Sox, Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
I think it's important to bring in a new voice, a fresh voice, perhaps that have been that's been exposed into areas of this game that we don't currently have in our organization. So, I'm very curious and excited to learn more about some of these individuals, and then we'll get it to the finish line and name the next manager. So, I feel like it's a fairly basic structure, a very open-minded. But I certainly look forward to getting it started.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is indeed the voice of Chris Getz, the White Sox general manager. And we are delighted to welcome him to the program. He joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. We have Chris Getz, Aturo Tire, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Chris, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing okay. Busy day yesterday, and look forward to taking down the Cubs tonight.
I got to tell you, Chris, so my wife's from Grosse Pointe, and I know all of your history, Grosse Pointe South, all the records, the amazing career you had, and people who grew up there proud of you, everything you've done. I'm curious, when you look at this job and where you're at right now, do you feel like you've done any damage to yourself by taking on this role? It's a really tough job, and the White Sox are in really rough shape right now. What kind of toll is this taking on you?
I'm doing fine. I mean, I knew when I was named to this position there were going to be challenges along the way. I mean, these are big jobs. These are significant jobs. And usually when there's a change of some sort, it's because, there's a bit of a disarray within an organization and which is, of course, perhaps the motivation for a change. So, but that's okay. I looked forward to that. I still wake up every day energized trying to improve this organization. And I know so much of the focus is on, the Major League Club and the record. And obviously that's a reflection of a lot of work. I mean, past work going back, 5 to 7 years. I've had to assess what's going on deeply within the organization, and which I've done right from the beginning and continue to do so. Improve just the foundations, because knowing that if things are done the right way and corners are not cut, that eventually you'll reap the rewards at the major league level. We have not gotten there quite yet. We've obviously there's been a long list of shortcomings. But with that being said, I'm as energized as ever. Obviously the change yesterday is hard. Those are difficult conversations. You care about those people. They're professional. But this is also a big step for the White Sox. And a great opportunity to hire a new manager to come in here and lead our Major League club.
Chris, there was a report last week that you met with Jerry Reinsdorf and Pedro Grifol about his job status. Yesterday, the move was announced. You fired Pedro Grifol. Why was the timing of the decision made now, when you really, frankly, could have justified making the move much earlier this season?
Changes like this, I mean, you're never certain. There's no perfect time. You could argue that it should have been done at this point or this point or this point. We just felt like yesterday was the right time to do this. There are a myriad of factors that go into a decision like this. But, yesterday was the day. You know, we've got Grady Sizemore that's going to be the interim manager, and we're bringing up, you know, some other support staff and coaches from our minor league system that are familiar with not only myself, but the players that we have on this roster. So I feel like we've got a really good team of people to get this season to the finish line in a positive fashion. There's still opportunity for us to make strides, whether it be individually, as a team, as an organization, and I look forward to getting that started today with this fresh group.
Were you waiting for the losing streak to end? Was that a factor?
I think we were all waiting for that to end.
To make
now,
a move.
How related that was to making the managerial change. It just came to a point where, you know what, the off day that morning, going to call Pedro and others on the staff and, bring in some new voices in which we've done so. But it was a painful streak. Anyone that was in that clubhouse watching it, whether you're a fan, an employee, whomever, it was very, very difficult. Now, does that go into the change? Ultimately, it's certainly a factor. I look back at where we went into the All-Star break and came out of the All-Star break, in hopes that we were going to be refreshed and play better baseball, finish some games where we would be leading games and couldn't get us to the finish line or looking for opportunities to come back late. And we just never were able to get to that point. So, we made the change.
Can you help us, Chris, to understand kind of the hierarchy of the team? What exactly is Tony La Russa's role? How often do you talk to him? And how influential is Tony in your decisions? Is he kind of the de facto Kenny at this point?
No. Tony and I have a very trusting relationship and very much embodies the advisory title that he has. His experiences are wide ranging in various roles. Sometimes I call him and ask him a question and perhaps I apply it immediately, or perhaps wait for a different time, or I just throw it away and move on. So he's a guy that I think is a positive influence, has been. But in regards to a hierarchy, it's at the end of the day, I'm the final authority on these decisions. I take in different opinions along the way because that's the type of leader I am. I know I don't have all the answers. You got to filter through some of the information that's coming in. And I lean on people within our front office, Josh Barfield, Jin Wong, Matt Koenig, a long list of individuals that are very bright and experienced. It helps to the decision making. But Tony is an ally, he's a friend. But beyond that, of that, Tony is making calls is final say is not accurate. At the end of the day, it's me, and I've got to make the decision on what's in the best interest of the Chicago White Sox.
And as you begin this search, I imagine it's going to be exhaustive and all encompassing. Which I found interesting yesterday that you seem to eliminate candidates who are not in a major league uniform right now. There are guys with experience, notably Joe Girardi, or a guy like there are candidates out there, Terry Francona, who aren't active right now that might be guys you want to talk to. Also, it would seem to eliminate popular candidates like Ozzie Guillen and AJ Pierzynski. Why did you take the step of eliminating the kind of guys who aren't necessarily in a major league uniform right now from being possible candidates for the job?
Well, it's still an evolving list, but there certainly is some truth to the pool of candidates we're going to be targeting, and there's certainly truth to people that we're going to be targeting, people that are in uniform and in organizations other than the White Sox. And I realize that there are a lot of bright people that aren't currently with other organizations or in uniform or that are managers that perhaps just out of the game for a year or two. And then you've got, the popular names like you listed. This is a criteria that we've put together, and we're going to start there. I've got a tremendous amount of respect with the people that you just named. And I mean, I look at Ozzie, and Ozzie, I've known Ozzie a long time, and I consider him a close friend. He brought me up to the big leagues. He fought for me, and I'll never forget that. And I really enjoyed playing for him. I really care and love the guy, and I know he has been extremely supportive along the way. But I still need to focus on what's best for the White Sox. And you know, as it stands today, we're going to target a list of people that fit the criteria that I believe are best for the Chicago White Sox moving forward.
Chris, is this your hire? In other words, are you picking the guy, searching for the guy? Is it you and no one else making this decision?
Yes. Yeah, it's my decision. I can't wait to get to down to work today. We're beginning to get organized with these candidates and get that process started. I think it's just a big day, a big portion of this season now is going to be in preparation for this exhaustive search and getting this team to the finish line to find moments here for our young players to continue to get better and prepare for the following season. So we have a lot on our plate, but I'm really excited to get rolling.
You work in a city and your opponent tonight where the Cubs hired Craig Counsell and paid him more than any other manager in baseball, reportedly $8 million a year. The White Sox reportedly are at the other end of the spectrum. How much are the White Sox willing to spend to get the right manager, or is this organization not at the point yet where they can afford to hire that kind of manager for this kind of team?
Well, obviously the Craig Counsell situation with the Cubs is pretty much a unique one. Craig's obviously very talented, and I know that they're excited to have him over there. When it comes to the White Sox, it's going to start with what's the best fit for us. We start there, and those conversations evolve into some more of the mechanics of a contract or anything like that. I'm going in with a blank slate, looking for the best candidates, and you try to work out a deal to bring that person into the Chicago White Sox, but to go into detail in terms of contract length or the amount of money that you're going to spend on an annual basis for that, gosh, I'm just focused on the pool of candidates and getting down to business and finding the right fit for us.
I'm curious, Chris, how do you sell this job to someone? Do you have to? Just because, we're sitting here talking about you rebuilding a team from the studs up. You could argue that you haven't gotten there yet, that the teardown's still on. You got to figure out whether you're going to trade Garrett Crochet. You were shopping him. What do you get in return? Is Luis Robert part of the long-term future? Are you still tearing down here, and how do you sell that to someone?
Well, I the vision that we have here, and this goes back to when I was named in the fall last year and talking to employees that were outside of the organization and recruiting them to come in, and they needed to understand what the process was going to be and what was what it eventually was going to look like. They had to have a belief in myself and others that remained in the organization, and we were able to bring in some Brian Bannister, who's one of the sharper pitching minds in this game, and I brought in Josh Barfield, who was a successful farm director with the Diamondbacks and others that have come in and help us lead the way. Now, this wasn't about, 2024. It wasn't. It was about building something sustainable for the future. And the process that goes into doing that, it's deep rooted. It really does start from the bottom, and it's going to take time to build up. But there are a lot of competitive, bright people that understand that and have watched and felt this type of process be applied and worked in other organizations. So when people look back at their careers, they feel proud to be part of something like this. This is not something that was, just handed to me and all of a sudden we were going to make a World Series run. That's not the case, and that rarely is in our game. If anything, you continue to bring in the best talent that you can to help you in the front office, and obviously when it comes to coaches and scouts and analytic minds to help bring this all together. And as we build this, and eventually we'll get it to where it needs to be, there'll be nothing more rewarding. So, that's the basis of this. It's going to take time. I'm looking for people that are willing to and and eager to take on this challenge. And I am convinced that there are people that are going to want to be a part of this.
It's a massive challenge, Chris, because of the role and the job, but also because right now I think the fan base is as skeptical and as negative as they ever have been because of all the losing. And I wonder, this is your search. It's going to be your hire. But obviously you work for Jerry Reinsdorf. We have a lot of questions about what he thinks about what's going on. We don't hear from Jerry Reinsdorf very often. Can you help us understand or relay, how is he viewing this season? And is he aware of just how bad things have gotten? Because I think that there's a sense that he's not responding to what's going on. And the less we hear from him, the more we wonder.
Well, I mean, the change was made last fall because of the state of things with Chicago White Sox. And, he definitely understands the challenges that we were going to face. He's been very supportive along the way, and he understands the different phases of rebuilds. So, but we also understand the skepticism of our fan base and people that are watching, and those are not going to quiet until we get more wins in the win column. And I mean, that's just the reality of professional sports. It's certainly the reality of Major League Baseball. With that being said, you know, I look back at how our draft went and bringing in Hagen Smith and our farm system that's rising towards the top, and we'll continue to likely add to that. And then, you know, you look at some of the assets that we have on our Major League club, some of these players and the attractiveness and that improve our Major League club through future trades. But there is this a process that we have in place that makes sense to Jerry Reinsdorf, myself in the front office. And there will be a time that we'll feel the fruits of the labor at the Major League level. We hope it's sooner rather than later, but there will be no shortcuts. But when we get it there, it's going to be very special for a lot of people.
It's great to hear that. I think that the problem that people are stuck on, and I'm not saying that you're doing irrevocable damage to your reputation because you're losing, or anybody, Jerry, whatever, but you're probably going to set a record for the worst season ever. And if you look at what's going on here, 100, over 100 losses now, maybe the worst record ever. Is next year 100 losses? Or the year after that? What's your timetable on all that? I mean, I love the idea of building up the team and everybody going to be good and we're all going to enjoy the fruits of that labor for years to come. It's just, I got older family members and friends who feel like they're going to die before it happens.
Well, you know, like I said, this is not something that can be just turned around overnight. Do any of us want to be associated to our current record and potential record by the end of the season? Of course not. We traded Dylan Cease, a week or two before the season started. We made moves at the trade deadline. You know, the focus here has been the long-term health of the organization and not just chasing wins for the 2024 season. Obviously, we want to win as many games as we can. We're all competitors. We feel like, when you create a winning environment, that is healthy for everyone involved. But with that being said, we know where we're at. We continue to show up each day and talking to Grady multiple times yesterday and looking forward to getting down to the stadium today. There's always something to play for at the Major League level. There is. And, you know, from here on out, we're going to motivate our players the best that we can. They get excited to show up each day, play for each other, play for the Chicago White Sox. That's what we can control today. While, you know, whether it be myself and other leaders in the front office, okay, how do we not only improve the team that we currently have, but also for the future of the organization? We show up every day and we try to do that. And you stack that many days of that many of that type of commitment, eventually, you know, it'll show up at our Major League club. In the meantime, we're going to fight and claw towards the end. We'll get into the offseason and try to improve this club the best we can going into 2025.
Last thing, Chris, is tonight Garrett Crochet's last start of the season? And if not, do you plan to shut him down?
This will not be his last start. Garrett's obviously had a tremendous season, one of the certainly the bright spots of our club, but also baseball as well. And, you know, we're very mindful of this part of the season as he navigates this late in the year as a major league starter for the first time. But, you know, there are going to be more starts. And, you know, we look forward to watching him pitch tonight.
Chris, thanks a ton for coming on. Appreciate your time, man.
Thank you, Chris.
Good luck to you.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Take care. Good
luck. That is the White Sox general manager, Chris Getz. We'll talk about that next. Molly and Haw on the Score. Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Interesting conversation with Chris Getz. He was very professional. I know those questions are hard to ask and sometimes difficult to take. I got respect for the man, for his position. I think we just have a lot. We wonder a lot about what they're up to.
No doubt about it. And as he knows, and his answers reflected this, skepticism is at an all-time high. It's an unprecedented season in terms of losing, and I think also in terms of the negativity surrounding this team. I give Chris Getz credit for coming on, answering questions. He knows at a time where people are going to be scoffing at the answers, but he came on anyway, and he was very professional.
312-644-6767. Let's try Bandwagon. Hey, Bandwagon. We're ready to jump on you.
Please.
Lots of room, guys. Lots of room in this way.
Good answer.
We're going to need a bigger wagon. Hey, Molly, I always feel good when I get the same. I have the same question as one of you guys. And on your way out, question, you know, is how long does it take, Chris? And that's really the question. And I thought about it, and I said, who's the longest tenured executive in the White Sox right now? It's like Tony La Russa, right? So you got him as your major influencer. And here's what I want a metric on. I want to know how long does it take a team to rebuild?
Yeah.
Right? There's got to be something somewhere. Somebody crunch a damn number and tell me how long it takes, because it's beyond that term and time for the Sox.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like 43 years, I think.
It's a long time, and it's a really valid point, and that's why it's a difficult question to answer. You would love to get an answer. Wouldn't you love to one day ask an executive and say, well, you know what? Our window is 3 to 5 years. And if we don't win in the next 3 to 5 years, we're firing people.
But you can't say that. I'll take 3 years. Here's the thing. You know, they're not even down to the studs yet. They haven't even, the teardown is still ongoing. They're going to get players for Garrett Crochet. Presumably, they're going to try to repair the reputation of their center fielder, Luis Robert Jr., and then they're going to trade him. They're not hanging on to anyone here.
They'd be selling low on him.
Well, that's why they didn't do it at the deadline.
Were you surprised he just said that Garrett Crochet will not make his last start tonight, and it sounded like he won't be shut down anytime soon?
No, it sounded like they got a plan, and they're going to follow it. And, you know, hey, you know, I'm sure he's involved in that plan.
You've got to build him up, and you've got to keep him whole.
You got to get to those innings numbers, but you also have to – if you are really going to trade him, what you want to do,
it's tough,
is erase the question about how many innings he can go and erase the question about whether he can contribute in October.
But as you do
then
that,
he becomes more valuable.
As you do that, you risk injury.
You risk injury.
Every time out.
No shed over that.
And then you can't trade him.
All right, we got to get to our buddy. It's Ron Coomer. It's the Coom Dog.
Coom.
Find out what he thinks of the Cubs heading to the South Side. Big series. New manager. I bet Coom knows Grady Sizemore.
Coom knows everybody.
Yeah. Okay. We'll talk to the Coom Dog next. Molly and Haw on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.